All right, good morning, everyone. I am going to call this meeting to order. This is the March 2nd, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. My name is Andy Kottkamp, and I've been appointed by the Chelan County Board of Commissioners to serve as a land use hearing examiner. My job is to render decisions on various applications or appeals that are authorized to come before me. We have two administrative appeals today. That's what is on our agenda. Now, I consider any evidence that is presented at today's hearing, as well as all the written materials that are already on file, in order to make my decision. The hearing process for these appeals is somewhat different than a regular hearing process. What's going to happen is, first of all, staff will present a introduction, if they will, regarding the matter that we're considering. Then the appellant, who has the burden of proof, will be given an opportunity to present their testimony and evidence. Then I'll go back to the county to provide whatever evidence that they wish to submit regarding their decision. And then, because the appellant has the burden of proof, I'll give the appellant the last opportunity to present any testimony and evidence. If there will be testimony provided, then I will swear in the witness. And I'd ask that you keep your testimony relevant to the application that we're talking about and not to other issues. Beyond the scope of the proposal, if you have anything in writing, we can make those arrangements to have them submitted into the record today. Now, except as provided by the Chelan County Code regarding requests for reconsideration or requests to reopen a hearing, my decision on both of these matters will be final and conclusive unless they are appealed. Appeals are by means of a land use petition action. They have to be filed within 21 days of the date of the issuance of the decision. And if the appeal is not timely filed, the appeal would be barred. I've reviewed both items on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in either of the properties or the proposals to be heard today, and I'll be able to fairly and objectively consider each item. And then, outside of receiving and reviewing the staff report for each item, along with all of the materials that have been submitted in support of the decision of the county, I've also received materials from the both appellants. All of those items have been reviewed, but I've not received any other communication regarding any of the items that are on today's agenda. So with those representations, if there is anybody here today who objects to my participation as the hearing examiner, you need to unmute yourself and state so at this time. All right, hearing none, we'll turn to the first item on today's agenda. This is administrative appeal, given appeal number AA22-016. This is an appeal of a, it's kind of a non-traditional decision, an email decision that there was an appeal based upon that decision. I would note that this relates to a application for a short-term rental, and that short-term rental has not had a decision made on it at this time. So what we're talking about is this email decision. So I'm going to admit into the record the staff report, all of the attachments to the staff report, which included the appeal materials, the email string in question. There are, what was this called? Appellant's response to the staff report. All those items will be admitted into the record at this time by this reference, and I'll turn this matter over to Ms. Riles for staff introduction.
Good morning, thank you. So the property in question is located at 23119 Lake Wenatchee Highway in Leavenworth, Washington. Between the dates of December 16th and 30th of 2021, there was email communication between the appellant and the STR manager regarding STR short-term rental application requirements and a boundary line adjustment application. December 22nd, 2021, application materials were received for an existing non-conforming short-term rental, but were not reviewed at that time. And then January 12th, we received the appeal request, which was filed with Chelan County with the associated fees. As applications for short-term rentals are reviewed in the order that they're received, at the time we received this appeal, that short-term rental application had not yet been reviewed. And at that time, and currently, there has still been no application for a boundary line adjustment. The emails in question between December 16th and December 30th between the appellant and myself as the short-term rental manager do point out where the appellant requested an exception to a rule that would allow an exception to a boundary line or a lot or a parcel size. That was the decision that the appellant requested that I take to my director or that he could request. And that was the request that was denied via email. So at this point, we've still not received a boundary line adjustment application, as the appellant has indicated. The short-term rental application is in process, and I believe my one of my permit techs has been communicating with me, Mr. DiLorenzo, and is just waiting for some final information. But at this point, we don't feel that this case is right, and so we would really like to move for a dismissal on this.
All right, thank you for that. Is the appellant ready to proceed?
Yes, we are.
All right, could you state your name and address for the record?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Kottkamp. I'm Pat Schneider at Foster Garvey in Seattle, 1111 3rd Avenue, Suite 3000, 98101. And with me on the screen is the one of the two appellants, Andrew DiLorenzo. And we would like to have Mr. DiLorenzo make a short factual presentation before I present our legal position.
All right, good morning, Mr. DiLorenzo. Could you state your name and an address for the record?
Andrew DiLorenzo, 9768 Roche Place, Wellington, Florida, 33414.
All right, I'm gonna have you raise your right hand for me. Sir, do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, you might want to turn off your video because I'm getting a feed here that says your bandwidth is low. So I don't want there to be any miscommunication unless you need to show me something that might help with your communication. So anyway, so Mr. DiLorenzo, what would you like to tell me?
Well, if with your permission, Mr. Kottkamp, I'll ask a few questions just to guide the presentation. And Andrew is in a place where he's likely to continue to have poor internet communication. So I hope we can proceed without further difficulty. But if I may then, Andrew, would you please explain for us the, before we turn to your property specifically, can you explain for us the area along the shore of Lake Wenatchee where your property is located? What's it like?
It is very steep. There is a lot of snow in the winter. It is almost entirely vacation rentals and not full-time residents. We have a particularly difficult driveway with some extremely large retaining walls that were put in by the previous owner. There is an abandoned house on one side of me, which I brought up for the county before, that has been there since 2006. On the other side of me is a garage that there are some residents living in, which I don't believe they're supposed to be doing, given that it's a garage. Behind us is a large undeveloped property there is a camper on the side of us for some people that like to visit during the summertime. So we acquired the property in 2015. From a previous owner who is our next door neighbor. He has since deceased. It is a difficult place to build. we spent the last 7 years working closely with the county to take what was a burnt down home and an abandoned garage full of garbage and turn it into a beautiful new structure. We have plans to do things like put in a nicer driveway and continue to improve the area. But are no longer able to proceed with any of those plans currently.
Describing the larger area, how many residences, give or take, would you say are located along the north shore of Lake Wenatchee? And by residences, I'm including vacation cabins and rentals.
I would guess a few hundred, maybe less.
Okay, and any estimate of what percentage of those are full-time residential structures as opposed to vacation cabins?
I have only met one person who is near my property who actually lives there full time.
Okay. Now, turning to your property itself, you described, can you just explain to us what you referred to a garage and a damaged other structure? Did you replace the garage? What has happened in the years that you've owned the property?
I should clarify. I own what used to be a garage. However, there is another garage next door that the people live in currently. That is not my property. But yes, there was a garage/barn, open air, that had a bunch of broken down vans and appliances inside of it when we first acquired it. We did surveys, installed septic, ran power, flattened out the driveway as best we could, and spent several years building what we think is, you know, the pride and joy of my life of this cabin. And we intended to split the property into two as it was originally parceled out, and which the county has always told us we could do. We just had to finish construction and do surveys and change the boundary lines, which the county has been fantastic to work on. It was only in October that we realized there could be some new difficulties around this, but we engaged with lawyers and tried to follow the law as close as we could with the changing regulations to account for that. And I'm concerned that I maybe interpreted the law too literally in the words that are in there.
Well, Andrew, just again, so we all have a clear mental picture. What is on the property today, and where is that retaining wall in relation to the structures?
There is a 15-foot retaining wall that is between the two different parcels. The parcels as platted were in a roughly rectangular shape that does not match at all the retaining wall. So our intention was to reshape the two parcels to better match the geography, easements, driveways, septic power, and everything else that goes into building a nice place.
Mr. Kotkamp, I have three photos that I think will illustrate what Andrew is talking about. Can I screen share those, and then I can email them to you afterwards?
Yeah, if they're properly authenticated, that's fine.
Okay. I'm being told that the host has disabled screen sharing.
I'm working on it.
Well, I see somebody's screen.
Well,
Windows desktop.
Yeah, when I click screen share, it says host disabled, participant screen sharing.
All right, is that something you can, Ms. Riles, that staff can alter or?
Staff is trying.
I think they succeeded. Are you able to see this photograph?
Yes.
Andrew, would you describe what we see here, please?
That would be the day that I bought the property when I took photos. That is the retaining wall that separates the two different driveways and easements between the much smaller lower property and then the larger, flatter upper property, which is currently undeveloped.
And what is the structure that we see in the distance?
That would be the garage that my neighbors live in oftentimes.
All right. I'm going to share another photo.
That garage is also was owned by the person I bought the property from, and his widow is the one who still resides there often.
And what are we seeing now?
That is the barn garage that was there when we purchased it, that we just raised and rebuilt our cabin. So that was, again, the day that I purchased the property. And obviously that is not the most beautiful residence in the world. So we've done everything we can to be good neighbors and build something that everybody would be proud of, rather than old garbage and broken vans that haven't moved in a decade.
And what are we seeing in this photo?
That would be the foundation and the first floor of what eventually became a three-story cabin.
Okay.
And that's that John Deere tractor right there is from Otis, who's a local contractor and lives just a few doors down.
All right, thank you. So
for the record, I'll admit all three photographs into the record.
Thank you. And if I assume I should email them to Ms. Riles after we're done with the hearing.
Correct.
Thank you. So Andrew, again, going back to the lot boundary adjustment, you've explained why you sought it to make the boundary more or less correspond to the retaining wall. Why have you not actually submitted the application for the boundary line adjustment?
I did submit the application. All that needs to be completed is a payment on it. The last I talked to the county, which just involves me sending something in the mail to them. But then when we found out from Ms. Riles and the short-term rental department of Chelan County Community Development, if we actually paid and finalized that application, they would remove our grandfathered short-term rental payments. So we're in a bit of a catch-22 that we're trying to avoid. So while I would love to have fully submitted that at this point, we have delayed doing that until this hearing to get guidance from yourself, Mr. Kochamp, about what we should be doing next.
How long have you been talking to the county about this lot boundary adjustment?
The first emails were exchanged in roughly 2016, 6 years ago.
And do the people you're dealing with, the county folks who are responsible for lot boundary adjustments, have they told you anything about whether your application will be approved when it's finalized?
They've indicated it will definitely be approved. We've had to do a few things to the property to get into compliance with them, but we've completed all of those at this point. So now it's just a matter of finalizing the paperwork, as far as we understand.
And have you recently adjusted the proposed boundary so that it's somewhat different than you originally proposed in response to the communications from the short-term rental people within the department?
That's correct. We changed it to make it so the properties would be less non-conforming and retain their original parcel sizes exactly to remain in guidance with the short-term rental guidelines.
And what effect does that have, that recent change, so that the two parcels stay the same size? What effect does that have on where the proposed boundary line is drawn in relation to the retaining wall?
I'm sorry, I missed the first half of that.
I was asking what is the effect of this recent change, so where your intent is to keep the two parcels the same size, but with a new boundary, what effect does that new boundary have in relationship to where the retaining wall is located?
It tracks the retaining wall exactly between the two different elevations of the property to ensure that future owner or ourselves or anybody else who may have the property in the future will have not somebody else's backyard as part of their property.
Okay. And Well, how long have you used your cabin since it was completed as a short-term vacation rental?
We completed construction in December of 2019. The first renters for vacation rentals came in August 1st of 2020, I believe. And we use it ourselves when in town because we love going there.
Okay. And has it been used as a short-term rental since your first tenant or first renter?
Correct. It is only used as our own vacation home and short-term rental, with 90% of its use being as a short-term rental versus a small amount of time that we get to spend there.
Is the structure suitable for a full-time residence?
It is not. It was designed specifically to be a vacation rental. It does not have closets. It doesn't have a pantry. It doesn't have outdoor storage. Is designed to make guests comfortable for 1 or 2 weeks at a time, tops.
And what is assuming that you're able to proceed and submit, finish your application for the lot boundary adjustment and the county approves it and doesn't deny your status as a short-term rental structure, what is your intent for the two parcels?
I would like to eventually develop the upper parcel to use as a, quite frankly, my retirement home someday. I am younger, so that's a long time in the future, but that's one of my favorite places in the world. And I bought it for a reason because I saw the potential of what it could be. We would like to start developing that upper lot sooner rather than later, if it's allowed.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew. I don't have any more questions. Is there anything more you would like to say before we turn to the legal issues?
No, thank you.
Then with your permission, Mr. Kontkamp, I would explain why we don't think this appeal is unripe and why we are seeking direction as a result of the appeal.
I'll let you make your argument here. I can tell you I'm not going to give you any kind of quote unquote direction as to where to proceed. That's not my job. My job is to look at the appeal and either to overturn it or to affirm it. So that's what I can do. If you need direction from staff, it's not going to happen at this hearing. You're going to have to seek an administrative interpretation or something more formal that way. But I just want to be clear what can be accomplished at this hearing.
And I appreciate your clarification. By guidance, I was assuming that whichever way you went, you would provide an explanation and that would provide some guidance to us. But you're quite correct. This is not an appeal of an interpretation.
Okay.
So again, when the email was written, staff expressly said it's an appealable decision. And as you know, person in an administrative process proceeds at their peril if they do not appeal. We frankly could not be comfortable that we knew what was being decided in this appealable decision, but it appeared to be a decision that any change in the parcels would result in loss of any ability to become a formal short-term rental. And in my appeal and in my response to the staff report, I've quoted the language from the code that it appears that staff is not implementing, is disregarding. It's subsection 2E little 2IB1 of Chelan County Code 1188-290, which says in pertinent part, any property that increases its nonconformance with this chapter without written permitted authorization of the department may be subject to immediate revocation. Well, that if words unless those words are meaningless, that means the department does have the ability to grant written permitted authorization for an increase in nonconformance. Now, and Mr. DiLorenzo thought that by getting the boundary line adjustment, he was going to get that written permitted authorization. It appears from the email that that's not the case. And even though one part of the department approves something, the people responsible for the short-term rentals can say no. Well, if they say no, then I submit there have to be standards that guide that decision and it has to be a reasonable exercise of discretion. And I don't see any standards and I don't see any exercise of discretion. I just see a statement that says any change or perhaps any increase in nonconformity means you're losing your status. Well, we've responded by revising the application for the lot boundary adjustment so that the two parcels are the same. Presumably there isn't now an increase in nonconformity, but again, we're in a catch-22 where given this email and the apparent position of the department, Mr. DiLorenzo cannot finalize his application for the lot boundary adjustment without knowing what the consequence is going to be for purposes of a short-term rental. So he's in an impossible decision where he can't move without getting direction. And if it's not going to be from you as a result of a decision on this appeal, then he needs it from the department. But again, I would hope that you would take a look at the code section that we're relying upon and agree with us that if those words are to be given meaning and not simply administratively disregarded, then there has to be a reasonable exercise of discretion in order to deny. And again, I don't think there's any evidence that that's the case based on the email exchange we've received. So that's our position. We think the email decision it needs to be overruled, and we would hope that your explanation for overruling it would give some direction both to the department and the applicant as to how to proceed. Thank you. I'm happy to respond to any questions.
All right. Yeah, I have questions, but those are questions I'm going to have to answer myself. So I've got to go through, even though the department said this was an appealable decision. Is it truly appealable? We don't have any decision on a boundary line adjustment. We don't have any decision on a short-term rental. We have an email indication that says, well, if you do this, then you your short-term rental permit may have some problems. So I understand the dilemma. I need to see what I have authority to do.
Thank you.
And I'll explain that. So I'll turn this back over to staff. Is there anything further staff would like to say, or Mr. Foster on behalf of the county?
I could say something on behalf of the county. Mr. Hearing Examiner, this is Marcus Foster, again, on behalf of Chelan County. I just think procedurally there was a motion to dismiss forwarded by Ms. Riles, and we just asked that the hearing examiner rule one way or another on that on the record.
And just to clarify, I don't think I've seen a motion to dismiss. I saw language in the staff reports saying the appeal was frivolous, but if there's been a motion filed, I haven't seen it.
I think it was just made orally at the beginning of the hearing.
If that's what we're referred to. Okay, thank you.
And I'm not going to dismiss it summarily at this hearing. I need to look at this a little more carefully. I looked at the email and Mr. Foster and the county said it was, you know, you can appeal this email decision. And we're not dealing with the short-term rental. I think that's been very clear. Maybe Ms. Riles might have been, there's some confusion saying, well, we haven't made a decision on the short-term rental, so there's nothing to appeal on that. And I think Mr. Schneider's made it very clear in his appeal documents and his subsequent filing that the issue that they are challenging. So the request for a dismissal is denied.
Thank you.
At this point, I will look it all over again when I make my final decision. All right, anything else from the county?
No, thank you.
Mr. Schneider, anything further?
No, thank you.
All right, so what I'm going to do then is I will close the public record portion of the hearing on this matter now, and I will have my written decision made within the next 10 working days. Thank you very much for your materials, Mr. Schneider. They were all very, very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And I want to note, we're going to turn to the next item on today's agenda. There are quite a few people here today at the hearing. If you weren't here at the beginning, I need to restate that these appeals are matters between the appellant and the county. This is not a time for public testimony, although the hearing is public, and you're certainly allowed to be here and to witness what's going on. But there will not be an opportunity for public testimony or comment unless you're called as a witness by the county or the appellant. So anyway, I just want everybody that's here to make sure you understand that. We will now turn to the second item on today's agenda. This is also an administrative appeal. This is given application number AA22-028, This is an appeal of a denial of a short-term rental permit as an existing non-conforming short-term rental. This relates to property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. For the record, at this time, I will admit into the record the staff report, all the attachments to the staff report, which included all of the materials that were relied upon for the denial decision made by staff. There is the appeal document filed by the appellant. There's noticing documents. And yesterday I received two documents from the appellant, one entitled Public Notice to Alleged Superior Court, County of Chelan. And the second is entitled Notice to the Court and County of Chelan. So those documents are also admitted into the record at this time by this reference, and I'll turn this matter now. Will it be you, Ms. Riles, that will be providing the initial staff presentation?
Yes, thank you. So regarding this appeal, AA22-028, applicants submitted materials via email to apply for an existing non-conforming short-term rental. Materials were received December 13th of 2021. Property in question is located at 230 Parkway Drive in Manson, Washington, 98831. There is no record of the current owner ever holding a required Manson VR or vacation rental permit. Per Chelan County Code 1188-290, Section 2EIF states that if in Manson, the short-term rental was to have been properly registered as a vacation rental with Chelan County, per Chelan County Code 1123040 as of August 25th, 2020, or that short-term rental owner had held a vacation rental in the Manson UGA as of July 28th, 2019, or in 2020 prior to August 25th, 2020. This applicant did not. Letter of denial was sent to the applicant January 14th, citing Chelan County Codes. Property was not properly registered as a vacation rental with Chelan County within the relevant time frame. And on January 18th, we received the administrative appeal request with associated fees. We recommend that the denial be upheld based on the applicant not qualifying for the status based on Chelan County Code, and that the applicant did not obtain or hold a Manson vacation rental permit in the relevant time frame as required to qualify for the existing non-conforming short-term rental permit status.
All right, thank you very much. Is the appellant ready to proceed?
Yeah.
All right, good morning. I'll have you state your name and address for me for the record.
Brigitte Staub, 314 Campbell Avenue in Chelan, Washington.
And what I'm going to have you do is raise your right hand for me so I can put you under oath. Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you. And you are the appellant and the property owner, is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
All right, what would you like to tell me?
Okay, I have prepared a little statement here, and I'm going to read that to you. And I request that when you have things to say to me, that you say them in plain language and not legal language, since I don't have a lawyer and I do not speak legalese. So I lost my main business to COVID, and I'm in an early retirement now. If I lose my vacation rental, I have no more business income. I have planned on this to be my fallback for the time I can't work anymore. It cannot be the intention of the county to deny its citizens the right to make a living off their property in the only truly viable industry we have in this county, which is tourism. I bought my house at 230 Parkway Drive in 2014 for the sole purpose of generating an income from the STR. The realtor, Chris Millsap of REMAX, gave me the idea. He said that it was legal in Chelan County. He did not mention a permit requirement. Neither did the rental agency that rented my house between 2014 and 2016, or my son, a realtor in Chelan, or a friend of mine who has been a reporter of local Chelan news for decades. It's been the best kept secret. that these changes are going on, and I also didn't know about the permit. I have paid B&O tax, county sales tax, transient rental income tax, and special hotel motel tax for each month I was using the house as an STR during the last 8 years. But the county never contacted me to tell me I was out of compliance with the permitting requirement. Since I paid all of my taxes on my vacation rental business, and since the county took my taxes without complaint, I hold that the Shannon County and I have a tacit agreement regarding my STR. Why else would the county take payment for an unpermitted and by their definition, illicit business? Why did they not notify me for 8 years? The message here is, it's not that important. But all of a sudden, the permit is so important that they take the livelihood of their residents away who had no idea it existed. I'm being told by the county that it was my responsibility to know that, to know all the codes that apply to me. How many are there? Chelan County not only enforces its own codes, but also the international codes, Washington State Amendments, and Washington Administrative Codes. Are we as citizens are supposed to know all of these laws and codes and how they might apply to us? Who is going to decipher the legalese if we do try to learn them? I have learned the English language, but I do not understand the legal lingo. Isn't that why notices of non-compliance are usually given with a grace period to correct the negligence? Because a few persons can understand or have time to navigate, because few persons can understand or have time to navigate all those paragraphs. I have been in my business, which now I can no longer pursue, been all over the country and the world working. I was home in Chelan very few days of each month. You know, I was never home. When was I supposed to have found out about these meetings, about this permit, if nobody notifies me? Normally, when a resident of a city, county, state, or country fails to comply with an administrative requirement, knowingly or unknowingly, that citizen is notified of their delinquency and asked to come into compliance, plus pay the outstanding debt and a late fee. An outstanding dog licensing fee will not lead to the dog being confiscated. An expired vehicle tab will not cause you to lose your vehicle. Delinquent taxpayers will receive a notice to pay up and not lose their house without several notices sent to their address. Chelan County, however, is taking my business and my livelihood away without even one personal notification. No warning whatsoever. Am I being compensated for the loss of income and home value? Not at all. How can the county legally disregard my property rights and offer no compensation for the loss of income and property value, and even the house itself when the mortgage can no longer be paid? I did not commit a criminal act, nor did my failure to get a permit harm, injure, or even bother anybody. I find the sledgehammer method of punishing me and others for an innocent mistake unwarranted and draconian, especially in light of the fact that the county could have so easily put a note in the tax statement of Manson UGA homeowners that if they are running an SDR, they have to get a permit and pay a fee. That would have been the end of the story. Announcements in a paper that is not mandatory reading for Chelan County homeowners, or posts on social media that we are not using, cannot possibly be expected to suffice as proper notification, especially when the consequence of not knowing of a code violation is expropriation. And what does the county base the need for code revision on anyway? A few squeaky wheels? Were studies done on the supposed housing shortages or the impact of STRs on the rental market, or the actual impacts of STRs on residential neighborhoods? To my knowledge, the county did not commission any studies, but relied on somebody else's numbers and reports. The county did not crack down on the few apples that gave STRs a bad reputation. I would have been in favor of that. Instead, it let the problem go, go on, leaving disgruntled neighbors to fend for themselves. And then they came down on the whole industry, punishing people like me who had taken their hosting responsibilities very seriously. Not allowing me to continue to vacation rent makes no sense at all, since every other house at Wapato Ridge, where my SCR is located, is a vacation rental. Additionally, Wapato Ridge is surrounded by resorts and motels on all sides. Nobody's going to be better off by shutting down my vacation rental. And finally, the county is discriminating against me solely for my house being located in a part of the county that required a permit. While every non-compliant STR in Chelan County is given the chance to come into compliance with the new code, STRs in Manson and perhaps other UGAs, I'm not so sure about Leavenworth and how all the laws are there, but the STRs in Manson are being deprived of that chance to come into compliance. That's the discrimination of people like me. No grandfather clause for us. No chance to come into compliance whatsoever. How is that fair? It's an unfair application of the code, especially in light of the fact that the lack of a permit requirement in most parts of the county made it even more difficult to figure out that one existed in a particular area. The county has created this confusion, and I'm being punished for not understanding what is going on. I want to state on the record that I resent being coerced into paying $580 for this hearing that does not even look at the merits of my arguments. Yet, without this appeal, I do not have a chance of fighting for my rights in court or perhaps get my permit if the county does revise the STR codes in the future. Not appealing means forfeiting any chance to keep operating my business. I also want to put the county on notice that if my appeal is denied and the county does not revise this faulty, discriminatory, and unconstitutional code, that I will make a claim against the county bond. I hope that other frustrated county residents will join me in holding accountable the county officials who are dispossessing county citizens, yet allowing outside developers to circumvent the very codes that are costing us so dearly.
All right, thank you very much. Anything else you'd like to add at this time?
No.
All right, thank you. Is there anything further from the county?
Nothing further, thank you.
All right, ma'am, what I'm gonna do is I am gonna close the record at this point. I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. My decision will be based upon the facts as I find them, based upon the evidence that's been presented, as well as applying those facts to the law. So that's what I do.
So if I understand correctly, you are not really taking into consideration what I just read. You are only looking to see if the county applied its law, its code correctly, right? So you're not really deciding on the merits of the case or the arguments. You're just looking that the county applied it correctly. So really, even all of us that are here for these hearings, and I have listened to a few of them, we really don't have a chance, do we? This is just more money making for the county.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to review all the evidence that's been submitted, including your appeal documents and your statements today that have been made under oath. And I will make findings of facts, and I will apply those facts to the law that governs this issue. That's okay. What I do. So.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. All right. What I'm going to do now is I am going to close the public record portion of this hearing. I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. There are no other items on today's agenda. I appreciate everybody coming out today to take part and watch the proceedings. But at this point, I am going to close this hearing and adjourn and wish everybody have a good week. Thank you very much for coming. This meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you.